This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All your ears are belong to us.
Error Code 8 is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/8DAG. On this episode of Error Code 8, Huawei and ZTE are the enemy, SoftBank looks at buying Sprint, and a $13 e-reader you might just be interested in. Stay tuned.
Warning, Error Code 8 in progress. Warning, Error Code 8 in progress.
System error.
Error code 8 commencing.
Welcome back to another fun-filled and fantastic episode of Error Code 8. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me, as always, the techno-Gaelic, Sam Briggs.
Hello and welcome back.
All right. Now, I promise that I am not going to mess up this company's name a single time during this podcast. I promise it. I promise.
Good luck.
I know. I had to look it up beforehand because I didn't want to make a fool out of myself. We're going to jump right in. And this first story we have is about Huawei and ZTE. Both are companies that they're telemarketing or telephone companies from China, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, and these are huge companies in China. I've heard ZTE like all the time, and Huawei, we have those handsets here in the States.
Yeah, I've sold a few of them.
Exactly. So, I mean, here in the States, they're not top of the line, but over in China, I guess they take up a pretty good chunk.
The key thing is that in China, they're not bottom of the line. And that says a lot in a Chinese market.
I know. China and Japan both have so many phone manufacturers that you only hear about the top ones.
Right.
So the fact that we've even heard of these people, even though I pronounced Huawei way differently.
And for those of you wondering who are listening and may not be able to actually see, Huawei is the company, the name is spelled Huawei. So if you've ever seen that at a store and wondered how you say it, who it is, it's Huawei.
Yeah. See, now I was always saying it Huawei. Mm-hmm. Because it has an H, but yeah, it's Huawei. So anyway, Huawei and ZTE have basically been the center of an 11-month investigation, basically trying to ascertain whether they are guilty of, like, bribery, and with their ties with the Chinese government, having, you know, corruption, discrimination, copyright infringement, all these bad things. And basically, the United States government has said, hey, go find someone else to buy your phones from. These are not good sources. Now, if they are heavily tied in with the Chinese government, I completely understand in the fact that you don't want another company's government having a direct line into your, you know, cell phone infrastructure via these handsets. Because, I mean, make no mistake, nowadays with the way our handsets are set up and the way that what our phones can do and the data they can transmit, you are basically carrying a high-tech surveillance device in your pocket.
Exactly.
So it wouldn't be so tough for these to be, you know, altered in a certain way.
Correct, especially considering that now, thanks to Android being an open operating system, and you remember China's insistence that Android remains open as part of the Motorola deal, the fact is these companies and any company out there can take a working version of Android, sell it as Android, so it's got a name behind it, people know it has apps, but then put their own software on it, much like Samsung does with TouchWiz or HTC does with Sense, and incorporate extra code in there to usurp functions of the device, and people would never know.
Very true. It's kind of a frightening thought. I can understand why the government would take a look at something like this. Mm-hmm. I don't think this would be the only way that the Chinese government would do something like this, but
if they're even interested in doing something like this.
I know, right? I mean, it's true. It could just be that these companies are doing this crud in China, and they don't really, they're not passing it on to the U.S. at all.
Exactly.
So who knows?
And one of the key things, okay, and do note for listeners out there, in general, it is Huawei that has been the most investigated for bribery, corruption, and such. Not to say that ZTE isn't, but Huawei is the center of that investigation. They've not come out and said anything for sure in regards to ZTE. And I'm not familiar with them too much. I don't recall ever selling a ZTE device. Like, I'm pretty sure we may have carried them, but they never sold. And I only remember selling Huawei for T-Mobile, a few T-Mobile handsets. But in regards to, like, price point, they're almost always free, very low cost. There are better free phones regardless. So even if you're not worried about this, there's still better ways you can go.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I mean, I'm looking at some of, for instance, ZTE's hardware here, and, you know, I'm seeing a lot of U.S. Cellular and Cricket, and, you know, these the lower services right. in the U.S. right now.
Right.
So it seems as if China's not so low service or not so low handsets are actually our low handsets.
Very true.
I don't think many people are looking at these phones anyway. To be completely honest,
market anything is free. You'd be amazed.
That's true. That's true. And I mean, some of the services, like it looks like Cricket actually has quite a few ZTE devices. A new one just came out called the Engage. But Cricket is also a prepaid wireless service, so a no contract right. service. So,
right,
it's a different kind of customer altogether. Well, leave it to the government.
Yep, and we'll keep you all updated on that as more information is found out.
But yeah, see, that's the problem right there. There really isn't any information on
nope.
it.
Nope.
We know they did the report. We know that what they found is they don't want to trust them, but that's about all they're releasing as of yet. So
right.
We'll get more and let you guys know later. All right, another little story. This one goes for Sprint. And this is Japan, not China. Ha, see, I know this company's in Japan. It's called SoftBank, and they're a network in Japan. You know, I don't know what you would compare them to in the U.S. There's not really. I don't know if you'd really have a network to compare them to in the U.S. Really, because they're not
really.
They're not the top of their field in Japan.
In regards to Japan's market share, if I recall correctly, they're third.
So they're basically like a Sprint.
Right, but kind which I would expect with a much smaller market share in general, but probably higher profit.
That's true. So SoftBank is in talks with Sprint, and this is confirmed, that they want to try and buy into a 70% stake in Sprint. Now, SoftBank is pretty much, in Japan, is famous for buying... What was it they just recently... They bought a while back. I can't remember for the life of me. They bought a Japanese network and ended up basically turning it completely around. They went from... If I remember right, it was somewhere like 7 million customers or something like that, and turned it around to like 27 or... I mean, it was an insane amount. I'm going to try and find it here. But basically what, you know, they basically, through massive pricing competition and things like that, they were able to take a small network and turn it around to be a gigantic network. This is exactly, in my mind, what Sprint needs.
Agreed 100%. Though I do worry a little.
And what do you worry about?
In regards to... buying in, playing the aggressive game, there's still, as of right now, Sprint doesn't have, well, none of the carriers really have a go-to device that can really turn heads. And people in America are becoming much more, what's the word, apathetic to data plans in regards to limited meter data plans. They're just accepting it. So Sprint's, hey, we're unlimited still. It's gotten old. I mean, people they've been doing that for a year now. So SoftBank will have to find a way to market something to show Sprint being the more advantageous way to go. And I don't know how many tricks Sprint have left up their sleeve without just going to a more competitive metered pricing plan, because that would turn heads right now, is a metered plan that's just very aggressively priced.
See, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's just me and my problem with limited anything.
Agreed.
I just really hate any time anyone starts talking about limiting anything that I have.
Mm-hmm. Especially whenever you're paying for unlimited.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's a big thing. I've always said that anytime it comes down to me, you know, updating my contract or anything like that, I will, if it comes down to Sprint actually getting rid of unlimited data, I will hold on to it for dear life until the day that I die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's just fantastic having completely unlimited data all the time.
Well, just note, if you go to the point where you're buying devices outright like me, remember that, do the math. Look at your data usage, look at the price of buying a device outright, and actually figure out in the long run whether or not you're, you know, buying the device outright is actually more or less covering paying for the limited data use.
See, I don't even know if it's the fact that I use that much. I mean, I do use a lot.
Oh, I use a ton.
Yeah, and I mean, it's I need to have unlimited data.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't know if it's necessarily my reason for holding on to it. I don't know if it's necessarily the fact that I just absolutely need that unlimited data. I think it's the fact that I want to have unlimited data, and if a company tells me I can't, I'm going to screw them over however I possibly can,
mm-hmm.
just to teach them their lesson. Just like before I left AT&T, right after they limited their data, I went through and I downloaded a couple movies on their network.
Nice.
You know, it's like, ah.
I have, with Sprint, I have an air card in my employee plan. And it's actually one of those things I expect if I end up having to go, because Sprint's coverage isn't the best for me where I live. And if I fall off the employee plan, I'm looking to more or less probably go the AT&T route. However, I will take that air card, buy one of the, what do you call those? The boxes that allow 5 devices to connect to it.
MiFi?
Yeah, a MiFi or something, one of the newer ones. I'm sure they've got
it's
them.
It's basically just a 3G hotspot.
Right, buy it outright, because I put it on my, I still have unlimited internet on my air card. I've bought all of them outright since they got rid of that unlimited plan. And I'll just carry around my limited MiFi card with me wherever I go and connect my AT&T phone to the MiFi.
Nice.
Yes, that's my plan. Annoying, tedious, requiring 2 devices? Yes. Screwing AT&T? Oh yeah, totally worth it.
It is, isn't it?
Indeed. I already have it planned out. Not even happening yet, but I've got it planned out.
Oh, yeah. It's always worth it. I love screwing the big companies.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Next story we have on our list. This one actually surprised me, and I'm actually surprised that I want one, to be completely honest. Texter, that's TXTR, Beagle, spelled like the dog. It's basically an e-reader. Okay, let me tell you some of these specs. Number one, it doesn't have a rechargeable battery. It runs off of AAAs, 2 of them. Or 3 AAAs, sorry. It has no 3G. Has very little internal storage. It has a 5-inch screen. You know, has no Wi-Fi. It's really, really thin, 5 millimeters. That's pretty good. Now, here's the caveat. So, you have 4 gigabytes of storage, and let's see here, Bluetooth. You have, you know, it's pretty nice little device, but it does have a lot of caveats. Now, let me erase all those bad things by telling you the price. $13. If you can handle buying batteries for this thing, if you can handle the 5-inch screen, if you can handle not having 3G or Wi-Fi, $13 gets you an e-reader. That's a pretty good deal, especially if you have kids. Can you imagine, for Christmas, the kids want an e-reader. Guess what? $13 for each of them. They come in 5 different colors. I mean, this is the company that has put this out. While they may not be quote-unquote geniuses for, you know, the things that they left out of it, they are geniuses in the fact that they left them out for the price. Mm-hmm. Would you buy one of these?
Yes, in regards to... okay, with me, because of I live a very rough lifestyle, I don't like putting money down for technology.
Okay, that makes sense.
$13, I'm okay if I break it.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. My hands are constantly covered in oil. I work in a machine shop. Touch screens, I have a tablet. I barely use it because I have to scrub my hands clean just so I can see through the screen. This just has a button. To be completely honest, it's a nice little niche that I hadn't even considered before in regards to what I, like, never thought about ever owning something like that. And for $13, that's a good deal.
Yeah, it's a fantastic deal. And, you know, they're expecting these to come out sometime over the holiday season. The big thing that is taking me by surprise is the fact that they are stating that the three AAA batteries that you put in this thing to power it can get you through a year of regular reading. So it doesn't even really chew your wallet away with batteries.
No.
I mean, I want one of these. I mean, for $13, it would almost be worth putting these into Christmas cards. You know, and have the card just create an EPUB file on your computer with the Christmas card on it, and have that on the screen when people open up the envelope. To be honest, because the Christmas card nowadays, I mean, costs like $3, $4, $5.
Right.
Just don't get them a present. Just get them a Christmas card on the front of this texture beagle for $13.
Mm-hmm.
Bada bing.
Done.
Exactly. They'll be expecting a texture beagle from me as a Christmas card.
And I like the fact that it works on Bluetooth.
Yeah, that is really cool. There is an Android and an iOS version of their app in the works that will allow you to transfer books from your phone to the beagle texter. So, I mean, that's cool. I do wonder if it has a USB port to transfer. They don't mention it.
I don't see one.
So it's almost as if they took that out as well and are relying on the Bluetooth radio to transfer audiobook or transfer books from your phone.
They'd have to be because it's 5mm, so that means there would not be enough room. Yeah. It would have to be on the bottom, and the bottom looks perfectly round, or curved, you know.
Yeah.
So there's no USB port.
That is interesting. Very, very interesting.
However, I mean, companies have talked about this before. Cell phones are replacing the average person's computer use, daily computer use. They're not replacing computers, but their daily use is what they're usurping. And, you know, being on the go, buying an ebook, you know, from Amazon or anything else like that off of your cell phone, and then just being able to Bluetooth it right over on the spot, never needing to go to a computer to read it. Handy.
I'm looking at their website right now.
Yeah.
And the company is Texter, and it's apostrophe TXTR. And, you know, they are, they're telling you, seeing front side indicate Bluetooth state, battery power. So it has a red and blue LED on the front. Okay, it does look as if it is only over Bluetooth.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a really bad thing for it.
No, I don't think that's really that bad of a deal. Especially since it's going to be iOS and Android. I mean, every phone will be able to pretty much use this thing.
Right. And even if BlackBerry 10 takes off or Windows Phone takes off, it's not going to be very difficult to make an app.
Oh, no. And we're looking at EPUB, PDF, anything that you can that your smartphone supports. It's saying memory is 4 gigabytes, but then it says number of books cached up to 5. I'm not sure what they mean by that, because your average EPUB book, you can, over with 4 gigabytes, you can store a lot of EPUB books. I mean, we're talking 30 or 40 books.
Yeah.
So I don't know if maybe the reader has 4 gigabytes of storage. However, you can only have 5 books on it at a time because of the Bluetooth thing.
No.
That... I'm not sure about that. But, I mean, even then...
Used up gigabytes of operating space...
See, I don't know. I mean...
I wonder if it's counting the whole operating system.
See, I think that might be what it's doing. And, you know, I mean, 5 books, if you think about it, your average book, it's going to take you a couple hours at least. I review books, and it takes me at least a day to 2 days to get through a book, you know, with my timeline. So I think 5 books at a time, especially since they're coming off of your smartphone, is not really that big of a problem.
You. Right.
So I really want one of these. As a matter of fact, I might contact these people and see...
About a review unit?
I'm thinking I might. I don't normally do that, but there are days when it's kind of worth it. So, anyway, Texture Beagle. Very, very light, very, very thin, powered off of 3 AAA batteries. Very bare-bones e-reader with a very bare-bones $13 price tag. Looks pretty promising, to say the least.
Agreed.
All right, I'm going to take just a second to basically talk about the people who give us the ability to continue doing this podcast, not just our listeners, but also Audible.com. If you'd like to go to our special URL, audibletrial.com/8DAG, that's the number 8DAG, you can get a free, basically a 1 month subscription to Audible. Audible is a great place to get all your audiobooks. They have over 100,000 titles, sales constantly. I was just telling Sam about a sale that they're having right now where members basically get 50% off any book they want. Great deals. So, Audible, if you go to our URL, you sign up for a gold plan, which is 1 book a month. It's 1 credit. And what you'll get for 30 days, completely free, you'll not only get full access to the Audible store and 25% off of any books you find there, but you'll also get a free credit. With that credit, you can buy any book that is 1 credit in price. Most books are 1 credit. There are very few that are 2. If you find a book you like, you spend your 1 credit on it, you download it, listen to it forever. Even at the end of the 30 days, if you decide you don't want Audible, which I'm not sure why you would, but hey, if you do, it's easy to cancel. Go ahead and cancel, and you get to keep that 1 audiobook completely free. That's our gift to you for at least trying Audible.com. So... we try to suggest a book to you guys every episode if we can. I have just started reading a book, and I am already in love with it. The writing is... There's some parts that I'm a little questionable about, simply because of the way the dialogue is written in the book. However, the story far, far outweighs anything that this guy can write. The story is absolutely, positively genius. If you're any kind of a Star Trek fan, you will absolutely love this. The book is called Red Shirts. And what it is, it's basically a story about this group of guys who are, you know, it centers around one guy, Ensign Andrew Dahl. And he's assigned to the Intrepid, which is the flagship of the Universal Union Capital, you know, Universal Union of planets and whatever. So he, after being on the ship for a while, he starts to find several things that are a little odd. First of all, every away mission involves some sort of lethal confrontation with aliens. Number two, the ship's captain, chief science officer, and the quote-unquote handsome Lieutenant Kerniski always survive these confrontations. And three, at least one low-ranked crew member is always killed. So it's basically Star Trek's Curse of the Red Shirts. I'm not going to tell you anything more about it because there are some twists and turns that kind of light all bring all this to light, and you're like, oh, that's why. So definitely check it out. It's one credit, so you can get it free and try audible.com. That's Red Shirts, and it's a novel with three codas is its subtitle. So you can go to audibletrial.com/8DAG and try it out for free. One free credit, a free month, and 25% off everything inside the store. So great stuff. Right. Next story. This one is kind of nifty. I don't know. When I first read it, I thought something different was going to show up. I thought it was going to be something different, but this is cool too. So 3M and Roku are going to be teaming up to create basically a streaming projector. Now, when I first read this highlight, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, a projector with Roku built in. But there is a asterisk after it. Basically, what they're creating, there's a 3M is creating the projector. And the projector is very small, like fits in the palm of your hand the size of an old CD player small. It can project images at whole VGA resolution up to 120 inches worth of a screen size. And that's a freaking huge screen. It projects at a brightness of 60 lumens, which isn't outstandingly bright. But if you turn the lights down in a room, you'll be able to do just fine. It'll have a 3-hour battery life, which is, respectable for something that's putting out this much light. You know, of course, you'll be able to plug it in, so why not just plug it in? Unless you absolutely have to run off of wire, off of battery. And what's going to be happening is Roku will be including the new Roku streaming stick, which is something, it's a stick about the size of a USB drive with an HDMI port on the end. And it gets all of its remote control signals, all of its power, and everything like that from the HDMI port itself, allowing it to be a standalone Roku streaming box. So any of you that have a Roku, you already know how great it is. If you don't have a Roku, why not? Come on. Get one. They're great. The Roku streaming stick is all that packed inside of a little pack of gum, basically. So you plug the streaming stick into the HDMI port of the projector, and bam, streaming projector. This is a great idea, and to be completely honest, an idea I never even thought of. But I want it.
And I want to make it part of my superhero suit.
Shut up and take my money!
No, this is definitely neat. I've dealt with a lot of projectors over my years of retail, and they all generally suck because, one, you need something to plug them into, and two, their specs are this is actually nicely specced for a projector, especially for its price point and what it can do. It is not bad at all. I could definitely see this being used, especially in, hotels and such, just because it'd be an easier way of in the showrooms that they've got.
Yeah.
I definitely think it will see quite a few of these just randomly about and at cons and such.
Yeah, and when I'm going to be redoing my basement very soon, and I want to put like a movie theater media room down there, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a projector. And the current projector technology is not bad for the price you pay.
No.
And this basically takes all that and crams it into a CD player size package. Mm-hmm. So while this is not something you want to make your main media projector for movie night with your friends, or a great cool night that you want to just go out and sit in the yard, you can project this on the side of your, you hang a sheet from the side of your house, boom, you got movie night.
Exactly.
Stream it from your Wi-Fi in the house. Watch whatever you want. Roku has, Amazon Prime Video. They have Netflix, Hulu. This is fantastic for that kind of stuff. And with a 3-hour battery life, someone can say, hey, let's go watch a movie outside. You set up a fire pit, have some s'mores, watch a 2.5-hour blockbuster movie. Boom. There's your evening right there.
I wonder if they will sell replaceable batteries.
I don't know. That's a pretty good question.
It's a question for like 2 years down the road when everyone's bought these and the battery life now only lasts an hour and 60 or hour and 50 minutes.
That's a good point.
Oh.
Yeah. Welcome to the world of batteries. Batteries hold everything back. That's the way I look at things, is that batteries, to be completely honest, are the main hindrance of technology.
Yep.
You know, they're saying that all the patents and the lawsuits are hindering innovation. I actually think most of it's the batteries. We need to focus. We need to literally have, like, no cell phones released for the next year. No one planning or working on anything, period. Every single company and every single researcher needs to work on batteries for 365 days. You know?
Yeah. They're working their ways around it, you know, power efficiency and...
Yeah, but, man...
Solar power.
Where's my Mr. Fusion? You know, I want the little Cuisinart thing on the back of my car where I just stuff, like, used Q-tips and toilet paper and egg cartons and banana peels, shut it, and my tires flip under and I fly away, you know? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Yeah, there's a bit of a jump there.
Just imagine a cell phone that you open up the back, spit on the battery, shut the back, and all of a sudden your battery's fully charged.
One day, I'm sure.
Yeah. Loogie-powered cell phones.
Obviously, all you have to do is put it in a sci-fi TV show, and it'll happen one day.
That's a good point. Science does tend to follow sci-fi TV.
Yep.
And movies. All right. So, Samsung has had a pretty busy day.
Very.
We're recording a little late. I'd like to say that we meant to, but it was an accident. However, it was a very happy accident because of all the information that came out of Samsung today. One of the things that we do want to touch on just real quick is the fact that Samsung has confirmed that the New York City little announcement that they have on October 24th is for the U.S. Galaxy Note 2. We were curious as to what it was going to be. However, they have confirmed the next big thing is here, and it is the Galaxy Note 2. So, October 24th, you know, check it out. After the 24th, we will give you guys kind of a run through, I'm sure. We'll get some specs and maybe some videos, seeing what this thing is made of.
It is a beautiful-looking device.
It does look very beautiful, but I still am not sold on the Note, man. I don't know. It's too big to be a phone and too small to be a tablet. I don't like the tweens.
No.
Yeah, so
heck, the S3 is too big for me.
Well, that's true. So, if you'd like to get something a little bit smaller, Sam, than the regular S3.
Flawless segue.
You can get Samsung's new phone that they just announced today, the Galaxy S3 Mini. Yeah. You did that pretty good.
I did. Yeah. That was actually completely accidental, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well done.
The S3 Mini is kind of... It's a letdown on some fronts and a not letdown on others. At first, when I heard about it, I was really busy at the time, and I was just able to skim through. And you had mentioned that it was quite the letdown on our corporate chat, where all of our writers start talking. And my first instinct was, I've had a lot of iPhone people tell me they are not upgrading to the iPhone 5 because they don't like how big it is, and that they won't upgrade to an S3 because of how big it is. I don't understand these people, but they do exist. So I immediately thought, wow, an S3 that's smaller, it will get these people. The screen is 4 inches big. So, you know, I mean, this could be the perfect device for them. So I got to looking a little bit deeper into it. It's 4 inches. It's a 1 gigahertz dual-core processor. Now, that's not an incredibly bad thing because the while the international version of the Galaxy S3 is the Ineos 4 quad-core processor, the American version is a little bit, you know, it's not quad-core, it's a dual-core. So, you know, you're not talking a huge, huge jump.
No.
But it will be, yeah, I think the Galaxy S3 is actually, I believe, it's set at 1.5 gigahertz?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, a 1.5 gigahertz dual core is not leaps and bounds over a 1 gigahertz dual core. And I think that it will make up some of the difference in the fact that the screen is smaller.
Right.
It doesn't have quite as much area to render all at once. So I don't think the speed of the phone is really going to suffer all that much for the pop down in specs. Now, some of the problems that I am having with this, number one, it has a 1500 milliamp hour battery. I think with the 1 gigahertz drop, you know, the 5 megahertz drop in speed, I think you'll probably make up your battery life. I don't think it's going to have very bad battery life. So, I mean, that's a perk.
Well, the thing with that is we've now hit the point with cell phones and with our processors, you remember they scale. They'll scale with usage. So, that it's not running 1.5 gigahertz constantly.
True.
And what we may see is bogged down with this device. I doubt it. It's a dual core, 1 gigahertz dual core. You're only going to see any type of bogged down or heavy work on the processor when you're gaming. But during those point in times, it will hit that battery really hard when the 1.5 wouldn't be working as hard and would be able to relax and slow down and reduce its draw on the battery. This device won't be able to do it. It's going to be revving out far more often.
True. Very true. And as far as RAM, it has 1 gigabyte of RAM. I don't remember what the Galaxy S3 has.
I believe it is 1 gigabyte also. I don't think we've gone up to the 2 gigs just yet. That's a pretty universal number.
Yeah, it probably is. Why is it that... I want to know, why is it that there is no, like, repository for... Oh, sorry. I'm looking at my personalized Google results, and I see my face, and I'm not sure why. anyway, why is there no central repository for cell phone statistics and specs?
What do you mean?
Somebody needs to make that. Just a big Wikipedia of cell phone specs. Nothing but. I mean, you know how useful that would be?
Well, sites like PhoneScoop have their search, and then they've got always the spec sheet. You know, you just have to search there. That's why I use PhoneScoop so often. They're not the greatest when it comes to reporting and such, but their spec sheets are almost always spot on.
Anyway, I'm going to not even worry about looking that up. So I'm pretty sure you're right. I'm pretty sure it is 1 gigabyte of RAM. The storage options are 8 and 16 gigabytes, so it does take a step. It has one that's a step down from the regular S3. And it has a micro SD card slot in the back, so you can go up to another 32 gigabytes of maximum storage on that sucker. That's nice. I'm glad they didn't get rid of that, because that's one of the big drawing points of the Galaxy S3. It, like I said, it has a whole VGA resolution, so it's not quite as much resolution as the S3 is, but obviously the screen is smaller, so it's not going to be. It's a Super AMOLED screen, so you're looking at really vibrant, sharp colors there. One of a couple of other things that could take spec bumps, the rear camera is 5 megapixels and 720p video, whereas the S3, the regular S3 is 8 megapixels and 1080p video. The VGA front-facing camera is on there. I believe that the S3 has a 1.3 megapixel camera. I'm pretty sure it's 1.3. It might be 3. It's one of those.
Right.
I don't use it that much, so, you know.
I believe it's 1.3 also.
Yeah, that's kind of the standard. And yes. Then, of course, it has your basic run-of-the-mill radios. You know, your Wi-Fi, ABGN, you know, GPS. It has an FM radio.
Interesting. I did not notice that.
Think the S3 has an FM radio.
No, it does not.
So
they snuck it in there, but they left out LTE.
Yeah, well, whatever. So it also has Bluetooth 4.0 and NFC. So I'm really glad they didn't take that out, because I think that needs to become a standard, because I'm using Google Wallet more and more nowadays, and I want more payment terminals. So this device will only, as of right now, support HSPA. That's along with Edge Network. So that's basically 3G and Edge on AT&T at this point. Basically, it hasn't been announced, if I remember correctly, for the U.S. yet.
Right.
But it is, I mean, it runs on the same networks as, like, T-Mobile and AT&T. So, yeah.
It is a GSM device as of right now.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, that's kind of a bummer. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that is the big network here in the United States, is the GSM networks.
Right.
So, you know,
actually, everywhere in the world.
Yeah, so things coming to CDMA, I think we're one of the only places with a CDMA device or CDMA network still operating.
Correct.
I've always said that Sprint should just switch over to GSM, but that would be a major overhaul, I can only assume.
Not as much of one as you think.
Really?
But, yeah, because it's just, okay. On the device side, you just start making devices with SIM card slots, because obviously the radio will be programmed to receive it. But they'd have to put in dual modes in their towers, because you have to remember because that's why they chose not to do it when they bought Nextel. They had the option then of doing it, but you have to put dual modes on your towers because they transmit differently. So it would just require tower upgrades without a complete overhaul. At the same time, why would you ever do that if you've already got a functioning, eventually with LTE and newer technologies, you will obsolete the old ones entirely. So for them, they always just looked at the long run. Wasn't the best move to make. They really probably should have went GSM at one point or another, but it's worked out for them so far.
Gotcha. See, I was under the, when I think about it, the way I look at it is that, for instance, basically antenna design, the way antennas are made, is they're usually made for a specific wavelength.
Correct.
And, you know, they're trimmed exactly to that wavelength in their actual length. Therefore, the actual physical size of the antenna dictates what frequencies it can transmit on.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure as if, you know, how specific the antennas on cell towers are.
The thing is that it's not the signal in what we're referring to here. It's more or less just the identification of the device along with the transferring. If Sprint went GSM, there would still be no correlation whatsoever to AT&T or T-Mobile because of that frequency, because they are on a set frequency. The antennas would stay the same, but the SIM card that sends the information to the antennas, that processes information, everything else like that, not processes, but handles information, that changes, because CDMA devices have an embedded SIM.
True.
So all you're doing is changing that technology. You're still emitting everything the same to a point, but you can't have... It's emitting differently. The encoding is different.
I see.
It's a very... I don't know how we ended up on CDMA in the United States. I really don't. But we were CDMA for a long time.
Yeah. Well, hey. Anyway, so the Samsung Galaxy S3 will be coming out. It was announced today. We'll see what it gets, you know, what its American version is going to look like. I'm sure they will put it out in America because, I mean, I'm looking at this and thinking... On contract, $50 phone.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think at $50, this is well worth it. You know, you pop up to $100 and it's like, I don't know. But $50, yeah, sure.
My thing is that, especially with that battery size.
It does have Jelly Bean.
True. Okay. One, as of having Jelly Bean, technically, yes. If it comes out at $50, it is the best $50 device out there. Hands down. Simply because of that. However, if you're looking at just the tech specs because you constantly ROM your phone anyways, you know, cut and sell your own ROMs, there are going to be better phones or equivalent phones at that price point. At that size, you know, in all regards to the specs, it's not that, I mean, people who are wanting, like me, I would love for there to be a smaller S3 out there. I don't like the size of the S3, again, because of my lifestyle. This is not a smaller S3. This is a lower-end device packaged as a tiny S3. It's a big difference. For the average person, they'll never know the difference. But I want the power. I want all that raw power. I want the LTE. I want all the awesome specs of the S3. This device does not do it. It'll come close, again, for the average person. It is your run-of-the-mill $50 device on contract. But for me, 4 inches, I don't have an issue. Heck, I have a 3.5-inch screen right now. I don't have an issue playing games. I don't have an issue watching videos. I would be comfortable going up to 4 inches, but I don't want to go larger. But I also want the extra horsepower, and it makes me sad that it doesn't have it.
Very, very true. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be the perfect device for somebody, I'm sure.
Yeah, we already know that there is a market for low-cost, high-spec devices, and this is technically going to be considered a high-spec device for the cost.
True. Okay, so that's all we have for you this week, guys. We'll come back next week for some more and exciting tech news. Sam, you want to tell the people where they can find, follow, and or stalk you?
About.me/SamBriggs.
Whee!
I actually have to keep checking because it might be Samuel Briggs. I don't really know.
I think it's just Sam. I'm pretty sure
it's Sam too. I'm pretty informal. I don't like... it is Samuel Briggs.
Ah, man!
Ah, no.
Could have been doing it wrong. Killing me.
Yep. Samuel Briggs. Killing apparently, Samuel. I decided to be more formal just for this.
The only thing.
Yeah.
All right. If you guys want to follow me, I'm on Twitter. I'm at Pen of Doom. My email is jesse@8daysageek.com if you still do that email type stuff. Anything else you want to learn about me, you can go to about.me/Jesse Miller and learn everything about me. If you'd like to send us a text message or leave us a voicemail for the 8 Days of Geek staff or this podcast in general, you can dial the number 754-273-6397. And if you're still trying to figure out where you can buy a Texter Beagle, don't worry, I've already tried. I can't find them yet. And the number is 754-273-6397. Although I am about to email their head of United States marketing. So we'll try to get some more information for you guys on that. It would be awesome if maybe I could try to... We might buy a couple of these beagles and give them away in a sweepstakes.
Dun, dun, dun. Sweepstakes.
They're cheap enough. We might just be able to do that.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. Possibly to the person who can take the most shots during the drinking game.
They didn't get a lot of shots tonight. We got some very disappointed drinkers.
We mentioned AT&T quite a bit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
No. Damn it, I didn't think of WebOS.
Ah, sphincter.
Double shot. there was WebOS news, but I just don't remember what it was.
That's okay.
Yeah, no, I'm getting tired. It's hard to keep talking about it. It is.
Wow. That coming from you.
I know, but I definitely feel like I've been singing the same song for a while now. Every once in a while, I like a different tune.
Oh, well. Anyway, join us next week, guys, for more exciting tech news. Sam, say goodbye to the nice people.
Goodbye to the nice people.
Warning. Error code 8 in progress. Warning. Error code 8 in progress.
System error.
sensing.